Now let's consider the cultural diversity critique of markets and capitalism. This is an argument about cultural globalization. It's especially popular in France and sometimes in Canada, and the claim is that markets and capitalism will lead to too little cultural diversity. In this video, we'll be talking about culture in the sense of cultural goods and services. There are two distinct but interrelated arguments here. The first one has to do with media economies of scale, which sometimes will lead to clusterings of media production in particular geographic regions. The second will do with how many traditional cultures will actually survive, given that we have some amount of cultural clustering going on. It's perhaps easiest to see the nature of the cultural diversity critique when you look at cinema. Cinematic production, quite commonly, is very much clustered. So, for instance, a lot of globally successful movies are connected to Hollywood. They may not be filmed in Hollywood, but the projects are evaluated in Hollywood, and the general sense of what the movie is to be is put together also in Hollywood. When it comes to popular movies with a lot of expensive special effects or perhaps certain kinds of celebrity vehicles, it may well be that Hollywood is the world's most efficient producer and that to some extent this discourages other national cinemas because it's hard to compete with Hollywood, which has a large natural home market, the United States, and then the ability to sell and market its product around the world at relatively low marginal cost. And of course, it's not just about Hollywood. Bollywood from India is another important cinematic cluster, and again you see the same features. Some amount of specialization, large degree of expertise, and then movies from Bollywood having a strong presence in some other nations around the world, in some cases discouraging other national or regional cinemas from making money. Nonetheless, we need to consider the countervailing benefits of having global trade in cinema. So global trade in cinema through clustering may be discouraging some national or regional cinemas, but it's encouraging many others. For instance, South Korean movies make money in part because they are marketed around Asia. There are many excellent Iranian movies which barely get seen in Iran, but they are made because they are marketed to art house cinemas and film festivals around the world. Keep also in mind that cinema is just one part of culture, and it's pretty much the most clustered part of culture. It's an exception. If you look at book markets or music markets or even local television production, we find much less clustering, and we find that trade is having a much more positive effect on diversity and the menu of choice. Finally, note that Hollywood is itself not entirely American. It's actually a global product of a global culture. So it's not that Hollywood is American culture destroying local cultures around the world. It's that we have some kind of global production method for cinema, which occurs through Hollywood, and that coexists with various national and regional cinemas. That somehow seems like a less oppressive cultural picture than to think that American culture, however defined, is simply taking over the world. The second question is simply how many different distinct cultures will be surviving, and here a lot of the pressure does come from media. As mass media such as television dishes and radio programs and also the internet spread around the world, it could be that many different parts of the world, especially those with small groups or tribes or indigenous groups, may lose their distinct flavor because they will over time have more communications in common with people from other regions. Again, there is something to this criticism, but we need to put it in perspective. What we find happening is a general trend toward urbanization. Urbanization does bring people together and give them something common, but in urban environments, it's turned out that people are remarkably creative and cultural, whether it comes to music or books or cinema or other methods of producing cultural goods and services. It's hardly the case that the urbanization of mankind has led to some kind of cultural desert. And of course, if you're living in or near a city, you also, as a consumer, have much greater access to a larger number of cultural products. When we take into account that this drive toward urbanization and the greater consumption of media products is connected with more chances for education, better access to antibiotics, higher standards of living, and other benefits, then when we view the entire cultural picture in this framework, the mere loss of a higher number of distinct cultures and the merging or melding or blending of cultures in more populated, more densely populated urban environments, Again, it's a big cultural change, but it's not obvious that it's some great cultural tragedy, and it also brings a lot of cultural benefits. Keep in mind that trade with the wealthier outside world actually helps a lot of small minority or indigenous groups realize their culture. So, for instance, the Inuit in Canada, they are famous for doing sculpture. They're able to do the sculpture because they received metal knives from the outside world. There's also still, to this day, a very creative and vital Inuit tradition of printmaking, and this too relied on contact with wealthier cultures and the trade of technological ideas. In India, one of my favorite classical Indian music performers is Srinivas, and he specializes in playing the mandolin. He's an extraordinarily creative mandolin player, but of course the mandolin is not indigenous to India, it's a product of trade across cultures. We need to draw some important distinctions. There are different concepts of diversity floating here in the background. One notion of diversity is simply diversity across societies. That is, how much are various places different from each other? That is one metric of diversity, and it does seem that kind of diversity is going down. There are things you can get today in Bangkok which are not so different from some of the things you can get in Paris, yet it really wasn't quite that way, say, in the year 1800. But that said, other kinds of diversity are going up. For instance, the diversity within societies is rising. So in Bangkok, for instance, of course you can buy a lot of excellent Thai food, but you also can buy excellent Arabic food, Chinese food, Indian food, Western food. You can get a good Wiener Schnitzel. That's another kind of diversity. Most societies are offering a stronger and more diverse menu of choice. Also, there's a notion of diversity across time. What is happening to cultural creativity? Are people today just making the same thing over and over again for decades or centuries? Or are there greater incentives to innovate and do something new because perhaps you can sell to a global market? Well, in this case, arguably diversity across time is going up. So while some metrics of diversity are going down, other important metrics of diversity very much seem to be going up. In one of my books, I suggested what I called a gains from trade model for cultural exchange. That is, when cultures come together and they trade materials, technologies, and ideas, and there's an immediate first-order effect that this, in many cases, makes both cultures more creative and also more diverse. A lot of cases of one culture wiping out another, often they're based actually in violence rather than trade. It is fair to say that market exchange is not in general giving you some kind of optimum amount of diversity, and it's not in general giving you the kinds of diversity that perhaps a cultural expert or cultural commentator or anthropologist might be looking for. But still, the economic perspective tends to give us a better sense of how much exchange and capitalism encourage the diversity of cultural goods and services. On this topic, I'm going to recommend a lot of my own writings. If you Google to Tyler Cowen homepage, you'll see online and free some of the articles I've written on cultural diversity. See also my book called Creative Destruction, How Globalization is Changing the World's Cultures. But I'd also encourage you for background to view our videos on network externalities, the idea of non-rivalrous consumption, and fixed costs for some of the analytic backsetting of these arguments. And we also have a video on India and Bollywood, which is relevant to some of these points.